We knew because of the lack of applications in recent years and the General Assembly's moratorium on new charters that the number would not be growing anytime soon. But this year, we've actually seen the number of charters shrink in the state of Delaware. Let's start with the charters that are closing. What happened there?
Well, there were two charters that have closed in the current school year. The first, Delaware Met, closed at the end of the first semester in January. It was, the closure was ordered by the State Board of Education. It was a case pretty much of if anything could have gone wrong, it did. The issues, it seemed as though the school was pretty well prepared at going in. Most people thought it was going to succeed. And then some things, unfortunate things started to happen. The school leader went out on maternity leave and they didn't have a clear substitute on board. The chairman of the school's board of directors, one of the founders, contracted an illness that proved fatal. So board leadership was in transition. And this led to problems with academics and implementing a new instructional program with a whole new staff of teachers. Everything pretty much went downhill from the first week on. State Board of Ed came in at the recommendation of the Charter Schools Office and decided to close down the school. The other school that closed was the Delaware College Preparatory Academy, which is an elementary school in Wilmington, chartered by the Red Clay School District. And this is a school that had been around for about 7 years, and it had maybe 200 students in it. And it had issues with financial mismanagement and also with below-par student performance.
And then additionally, there were two others that were scheduled to open, and they appear as if they are not going to open, correct?
One is definitely not going to open. That's the Mapleton Charter School, which was planned and the charter was approved 2 years ago. So they had to open this fall. The original site was in the Mapleton community in this new town of Whitehall. A couple of things happened there. The building that they were going to go into wasn't going to be ready on time, nor have too many people moved into Whitehall yet, so there's not a real great base. They decided that they would try to move and seek out a new location in the Dover area at the last minute. Those plans didn't work out, so late last year they turned in their charter to the State Board of Ed. The second school is the new Delaware STEM Academy, which is scheduled to open with 9th and 10th graders in the Newcastle area. And what's happened there is they projected having 250 students in 9th and 10th grades. And as of the start of this week, they had enrolled approximately 125. They were placed on formal review when the enrollment was coming in slow. Now the Charter School Accountability Committee has recommended to the state Secretary of Education that the school's charter be revoked. That decision is expected to be made on next Thursday at the State Board of Education meeting.
So if nothing else, it does appear that the state is delivered on its promise of stronger charter oversight.
Yes, they most definitely are. They certainly haven't resolved all of the problems. Issues with board leadership and financial management continue to persist. These are the types of things that even the monitoring at the level that the state is now doing don't always catch, at least not right away. And frankly, that's typical of fraudulent activities in the public sector, in the private sector, pretty much no matter where you are. It doesn't get it'll go on. It can go on for months, even years, before it's actually detected. But in any case, yes, the state is doing a more intensive job of monitoring the charter schools, and the charter school performance framework does set out fairly clear standards that are specific from school to school, and the state is doing a pretty good job of keeping track of whether the schools are meeting the standards that are set up.
One of the other things you looked at is the community education building in Wilmington, and there's some indication that spot, which was supposed to be kind of a hub for city charter schools, may not necessarily be able to deliver on the promise of being that fully vibrant type of hub. What are some of the issues that they're facing?
Well, one issue that they face, the most significant one at this time, is that one of the three schools that was in the building this year, the Academia Antonia Alonso, has decided that it's going to move out to Barley Mill Plaza and share space, or actually have space that adjoins the campus of the Odyssey Charter School. And, I mean, what happened there, if you read the paperwork that's filed with the Charter School Accountability Committee, is there were a number of issues and concerns that the school had with management and operations at the community education building, not being able to get sufficient access to the building on evenings and weekends, the amount of time that it took the kids who were located on the sixth floor to get downstairs for lunch, for recess, things like that were eating into the instructional day. These issues weren't really resolved, not necessarily because it was the fault of the community education building. I mean, the business about access on evenings and weekends was spelled out in their lease, so they pretty much knew about it. There are all going to be logistical issues when you're on the sixth floor and you've got to get down to the second floor or the third floor for recess or for cafeteria, that sort of thing. And there's a playground which is a block and a half away. All of which were things that maybe people might have anticipated better, but there was no real easy way to work all of this out. Bottom line is that the academia management felt that the location was not a real good fit. This leaves the community education building with two schools rather than three for next year, and their long-term goal was four. With the charter school moratorium applying in the city of Wilmington, there's no obvious candidate to move in. That being said, they're looking at alternatives. Thayer DuPont, who's the chairman of the board of directors, says that they are talking with other charter schools, both located in Wilmington and in the suburbs, that might be interested in moving in. There's consideration to finding a nonprofit organization whose mission might be compatible with the charter school mission of the community education building, and perhaps leasing some of the space to a nonprofit. Another possibility is that one of the Delaware colleges or universities that has an interest in teacher preparation, teacher training, might want to move that sort of program into the building as well, and certainly they would have students there ready to be taught in student teaching programs. So community education building is concerned but working toward finding alternatives.
Let's talk about some of these success stories, because there are some as well. The news isn't all bad. Tell us who's on the roster of these success stories that we've seen this year.
The one that most people in the charter movement are talking about is First State Montessori, which is also located downtown. And they were a K through 6 school, and they were finding out that they were starting to lose students in the sixth grade, because in sixth grade, in the traditional structure is when you start middle school. So rather than stay in Montessori for sixth grade, some of these students were wanting to go to a traditional junior high. They decided to add a seventh and eighth grade program, which will not start this September, but will start the following September. So they're growing. They're also adding about another 100 students at the lower grade levels. And on top of that, they are moving their upper grades into the building that Delaware Met formerly occupied. It's actually just a move next door, so they will have space in two adjoining buildings on French Street in downtown Wilmington. So that's one. Frieri Charter School, some of you may remember we talked about that last year. There were a lot of issues with the neighbors in the Midtown Brandywine community, and they're worried about traffic and large numbers of kids walking through their narrow streets in the morning and the afternoon. That got resolved pretty well. They did appoint a member of the neighborhood community to their school board, which has been helpful. And the academic program has been rolling along pretty well, and they are in good shape in terms of their enrollment projections for the coming year. So also the Design Lab Charter School, which is out in the Christina area in the old Faith City Church complex, they got off to a little bumpy start with their enrollments, but they're fine now, pretty close to where they want to be for next year's targets. They've had a number of successes. The director, Christina Alvarez, was telling me about a ninth grade math class that essentially finished their curriculum for the year by the end of the third quarter and developed their own proposal for what to do for advanced math study for the fourth quarter of the year, presented it to the faculty and to the school leadership. They went ahead with it, and this group of 12th, ninth graders moved right through and learned a lot more math this year than the curriculum had called for them to do. So, you know, definitely a good one there. Another one is the Great Oaks Charter in Wilmington, in the community education building. They've gotten off to a smooth start. They've met their enrollment goals for next year, and they've already got a waiting list.
Any sense of what is setting some of these success stories apart from the ones that have struggled or have closed altogether?
Well, I think one thing that you can look at is the school model and the resources that the school operators bring. Great Oaks has other operations in New York City, in Connecticut, and Newark, New Jersey. Frieri has two schools in downtown Philadelphia, and Design Lab is modeled off a similar program in Philadelphia, and its leadership had experience there. So those three schools came in with a model that had been proven successful elsewhere, and also with school leaders who had experience in other successful charter operations. And taking those things together, certainly helpful. Now, it doesn't work that way all the time. Delaware Met was working with an educational consulting organization to help them put their project-based learning curriculum into place, and yet it didn't work out because there were other issues with the management. So you've got to have all of those pieces. You've got to have a good concept. You've got to have strong leadership. And it certainly helps that the people who are involved are not only strong leaders, but they're also experienced in what they're doing.
Finally, what do we see lying ahead for charters as we kind of still wait through this moratorium?
It's going to be interesting. I think, you know, last year at this time, we were talking about how there was going to be sort of a settling in, filtering out sort of thing. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of that, given the situation with the community education building in Wilmington. You may also see a little bit more movement. They're not telling me who they're talking to, but you would certainly think that the Edison Charter School and the Eastside Charter School, both of them in Wilmington in low-income areas, but with a reputation for successful operation, might be the type of candidates that the operators of the community education building would like to bring in there. It's also going to be interesting to see what happens out at Barley Mill with Odyssey and Academia Antonio Alonso right next door to each other. Both of these are dual language schools. Academia is Spanish English. Odyssey has a heavy Greek language component to its curriculum. So that's going to be interesting to see what sort of synergies might develop out there. From what I understand, there's more room at Barley Mill with the renovations that are going on. Maybe somebody's going to come along in another year or two with another idea for a dual language high school or elementary school teaching Chinese or Arabic. It's difficult to predict. I don't expect a whole lot more in the way of growth for charter schools, but I do think the weak ones are going to be winnowed out a little bit more.